The fact that you all came here today puts you with millions, if not billions, of other human beings who believe that there is something larger, bigger than you or me, who is ultimately in charge of existence and our destiny. And most of us call this other thing God, which is acknowledged in one form or another in every single culture on this earth. In fact, National Geographic has Morgan Freeman traveling all over the world right now, doing a series entitled In Search of God, to find out what this thing is that we worship. To the questions around our purpose in life and ultimate meaning, the Christian religion says that all of these questions, who am I? Why am I here? What becomes of me after I die? All of these are answered by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who has been summarized in the creeds such as the Apostles' Creed that we will say later during Austin's baptism. But that's not where faith begins. Faith does not begin in a creedal affirmation. For the gospel writers and for all of us that have gathered here today, it begins this way. Jesus went along the shore of the Lake of Galilee, and he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, catching fish. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will teach you how to catch men." And at once they left their nets and they went with him. Now, these first Christ followers couldn't possibly have known what they were getting into. He didn't give them, for example, any credentials. He didn't show them any references of other rabbis who thought that he was a great one. He didn't show them his seminary degree from where he had graduated. He had no stump speech outlining what his plan was going to be, or for that matter, who he even was other than an itinerant rabbi on the move. Now that's the way the church actually started. No action plan, no 3 weeks of new member classes, no market research to see who would be the best fit for this Messiah, no mission study to figure out what to do, no employment contracts given out, no list of doctrines, no book of order. Jesus didn't explain anything. He simply said, "Come, follow me." And they did. And instead of giving them hardcore facts or an action plan, what he did instead was give them hints and clues, bits and pieces, parables and perplexities, which he dropped like little breadcrumbs all along the way that they traveled for the next 3 years. And he demonstrated through this and in everyday life how it was you come to know God and how it is that you come to act towards your fellow human beings. Clue. A man was very, very successful already in life. Thought he had to build bigger barns because he had a bumper crop and he couldn't stuff more grain in his already stuffed barns. He had so much stuff, he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and build bigger ones. At last, I'll have enough to feel secure and I can take it easy." But a final decree comes and says, "Not tonight. Your soul is required of you, you fool." And he dies. So the disciples think to themselves, "If I'm not rich towards God, then maybe I don't have everything I need." "Oh, I get it. You mean there are things more important in this life than getting richer and richer. Things like sharing, maybe." Clue. "You've heard it stated in your law that you should not commit adultery. But I tell you that if you lust in your heart, you've done the same thing in the eyes of God." "What? Whoever said that?" Hint. What's God like? Well, God's like a father who took horrible insults from his youngest son, who went off on a far adventure into a faraway land with part of his inheritance and squandered it all and then came back looking to be forgiven. And then took more insults by his eldest son, who refused to come into the party that he threw for the younger. But this father welcomed them both back with open arms. He took on the shame of the community and the shame of his own sons. "Oh, I get it. That's what God is like. God is loving and forgiving, even when I'm not." Hint. A man got mugged, really badly mugged, in fact. And there were three good citizens, upstanding, righteous people, who wouldn't stop to help this guy. But but a man from another denomination, another religion, one that you guys can't stand, in fact. He's the one that stopped. Oh, so the Good Samaritan was the good guy in this. I get it. You want us to be like him. And many more clues and hints of what God is like and expects us to be like were revealed along the roads that they traveled into all of the villages and homes and towns they came to. And in time, these ordinary men and women, they began to understand, little by little, what following this particular Messiah was all about. They didn't always get it. They messed up. They acted out of selfish motives. But they learned what it meant to follow by following. Little by little, their faith grew, and wisdom began to take hold in their lives as they had experience now coupled with knowledge. And they caught on through his words and his ways. In short, they got it on the installment plan. Faith came to them over a series of events and time periods, and that's how we come to faith too. Very few of us have the Damascus Road experience that the Apostle Paul had of a blinding light and then the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's great if you've had that experience, but that is not where it ends. That is merely the beginning of an experience that should last you a lifetime. Faith is doled out to us time and again, every single day that we're here. So here's the sequence. First, you follow. Then you commit. Then you listen. Then you talk. And then you walk the walk. You learn a lesson. You do a lesson. You teach a lesson. These are the steps of faith. It has always been an apprenticing program. Don't be discouraged if you don't get the hang of it at first. It takes a lifetime to master this, if that's enough time in and of itself even. One step forward maybe this time and two steps back. The next time maybe it's two steps forward, one sideways step. And you'll get better at it in time. You'll learn not to make the same mistakes over and over. The critical thing is not quitting. The critical thing is to keep on walking, to keep putting one foot in front of the next. Most of us, you see, didn't arrive at faith by serious study. We didn't dive into the Bible and search through it the way C.S. Lewis did, for example. We arrived at it by having had an introduction to God through another human being. Somebody brought us to church. Whether it was a mother, a father, a grandmother, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, somebody introduced us to the idea of God, and somebody specifically introduced us to Jesus Christ. If you want to have an abundance of life, if you want to have what Jesus comes to offer that's meaningful and sustaining and satisfying, you have to go about risk living that faith. You have to go about taking the chances. Jesus never condemns us for trying something new. Just like the first four, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they left everything that they knew behind and went off on this adventure of a lifetime, not knowing exactly where it was going to lead them. Every one of us starts off the trip without knowing how it's going to work out. Nobody tells us what's going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's an adventure, and it should be that. But it's also scary, isn't it? The not knowing part. But it's the essence of our faith itself, the essence of taking that leap to follow without knowing all of the answers, but learning the answers as we go, learning what it means as we go. As Augustine said, he could see the hand of God when he looked back over his lifetime. It's through history that we see where God has touched down in our lives. Yes, Lord, I hear you tell me that I shouldn't be anxious about the outcome of my life. But I still am, although it's a little bit better today than it was the other day, so I guess that's good. Show me how to handle the stresses and the anxieties that come my way, the things that I'd like to handle, but I just don't have control over. Yes, Lord, I hear you tell me that I can trust you to care for all my daily needs, but I'm still going to protect my family as best I can, so help me get that balance right. Help me get the balance right. Don't worry if you end up having more questions than answers. That's a good thing. It keeps you on the task at hand, finding the answers eventually to those questions. Think of the disciples who often missed the point of what Jesus was all about. But just keep trying to pick up the clues that he leaves behind for us. And for that, you will need to come to worship, because it's where you hear the stories of the Gospels. It's where you hear the stories of Jesus, but also from your own experiences, also from your own encounters with one another and with other human beings who come into your life unaware as angels to many of you at times, and yet they provide you with that glimpse of that unconditional love that God offers. You'll get better at it as you do it. After all, that's what our baptism is all about. That's why we are celebrating that sacrament today. Because we're saying, I have decided to follow a specific path in life, a specific story, a specific person by the name of Christ. And in that process, I hope and I trust that I'll learn to come to have a life that is abundant and full as I go. But the only way I'll know that is to follow. So be it today and all our days to come. Amen.